with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome back, guys. So glad that you guys are on. I see the numbers going up. Come on in. Welcome in. Welcome home. Glad to see you guys back again. Everybody wants to listen in to some good conversation. We got some things to talk about today. You know, April is National Stress Awareness Month, and usually we look for different things to help us relax and be stress-free and keep our lives pushing forward. I just would like to say a lot of people need to keep their nose pasted to their face because this is one way of stressing in business and leave other people's business alone. You're busy. You have no time to be stressed out with anybody else's drama. So that is one good way of bringing in April. You know, try it, guys. Sometimes it helps to just stay free, stay clear of the shenanigans, and stay drama free. You would feel a lot better. Trust me. You know, I'm going to jump into something really quick. And this is really bringing awareness to a lot of parents. You know, some parents seem to forget that there's predators out there. And sometimes predators come in all shapes, forms. You just don't know who anyone is today, as we've talked about many times on the show. And we've had people come on, and I've shared stories of others that they really couldn't come on and share because it was a little too hurtful. So a gentleman, I would say a young man, his name is Khalil Wheeler Weaver. He's from Orange, New Jersey. And unfortunately, he is the son of one of my coworkers, which I actually asked him if it would be okay to talk about this story today, because it's been a very devastating beginning of April for their family. And unfortunately, Khalil is in his mid-20s, you know, young man. Unfortunately, in his early teen years, it seems like he had some trouble, you know, and no one knows what they were specifically, but he had some troubles of relationships and, you know, rejection and so on. And it led him down a dark path. And unfortunately for him, he was just sentenced to 160 years in prison, which he's stating that he's innocent and he's being framed for the murders of 33-year-old Joanne Brown, 20-year-old Sarah Butler, 19-year-old Robin West, and 15-year-old Mawa Duumbi. These tragedies happened 5 years ago, and the families are very devastated, you know, because people sometimes forget, even though a person can be in law enforcement, they're still human beings, and they have regular problems like everybody else does. No one is exempt from anything. You know, I can't stress that enough to anyone. But he went on a 4-month murder on dating apps. It was one young lady that survived, Tiffany Taylor. She was a survivor from his murder spree. And, you know, unfortunately for her, she has to live the tragedy of what she's been through while she was looking for love. You know, and unfortunately, parents don't educate their children enough, especially when it comes to social media, how dangerous that place could be. You know, that is a world of darkness. And people have to be very careful when they give their children the okay to go on and socialize. Snapchat is one of them. I've seen things on Snapchat from having a teenager that was very unacceptable to me. And I'm saying, how could the parents allow such a thing to go on? But parents are not proactive when it comes to social media and look at their child's phone and see who they're communicating with. At one point in time, when my daughter was in her early teens, Her dad mirrored her phone, so everything she did on her phone actually showed on his phone. So if she was communicating with people outside of her age bracket, he knew who they were. He actually had their IP address. These things are very, very important, and people take these things for granted today. Now, unfortunately for Khalil Wheeler Weaver, such a young man that his life has been cut short because of his trauma that he went through himself. And usually when they stereotype a serial killer, they say, well, he matches this description, he should be this height, based on the findings of actual brain. So he went actually on social media, pretended to look for love, and he was a charming young man. He was a handsome young man. So of course the women were gonna take a second look at him, like, he's a nice guy. Never think anybody's a nice guy today, because the nice guys could be the crazy guys. And before you know it, you could be in a very bad situation, you, your child, because it's just not children that's out here looking for love. It's grown women. It's adult women who are stuck, and they're in a place where, they're getting that breaking point of, I need to settle down, I need to be married, or I need to have children. So they're looking for love. And then you have the younger crowd, like Mawa Duambi, who was 15 years old at the time of her murder, which is very heartbreaking. She actually, guys, I don't know what was this young lady to stay away from. He takes her to an abandoned carriage house in the back of a abandoned funeral home. Like, why, if this guy is about something, why would he take me to an abandoned carriage house to even have, anything going on with me? That would be the first red flag. But 15 years old, these young girls, they're trusting, they're very trusting, they're looking for love that they're not getting at home. And it's a very heartbreaking, being a mother and knowing a 15-year-old that is out here looking for some type of love from a stranger on social media. It's a little behooving to me on, at that age, why would you be looking for love? You should be looking for schoolwork and where your career is going and passing your classes and looking forward towards, college. That's the average. Well, not the average. I take that back. Not the average 15-year-old today. Because a lot of 15-year-olds go through very traumatic experiences. So who knows what the 15-year-old was experiencing at home for a young man to lure her to an abandoned place for intimacy. So that's kind of striking to me. And she lost her life throughout this whole ordeal. And Robin West, 19 years old, she suffered as well. She was strangled. Sarah Butler was strangled. And Joanne Brown, she was set on fire. Like, he actually burnt the body. And they knew he did it because they tracked his IP address. Guys, those cell phones will get you into trouble. Stay away from those cell phones when you're about to commit a crime. If I, it's not worth it. Tiffany Taylor, now the survivor, she has a story to tell. She got up in the courtroom and she said, I don't wear makeup anymore. I don't want to talk to guys anymore. I don't want to date anymore. I don't want to know anybody anymore. And it's very heartbreaking that this young lady will now have to go through life with these scars of how she ended up almost dead. And as a matter of fact, he strangled her as well, and she actually played dead. That's how she survived. If she didn't play dead, he would have actually killed her, like, probably did more to her to make sure she was dead. So it's very heartbreaking when you hear these type of stories about, these young men. He's African American. He doesn't make the cut of a serial killer, but he still maintains 140 years where he'll be eligible for parole. But he was definitely sentenced to 160 years in prison. It took them 4 months to figure out that he was the actual killer. But I'll tell you what, guys, what's a little disturbing to me is when you don't know who your children are hanging around is the other thing. Because I can give you a little backstory on Khalil Wheeler-Weaver myself. Before I knew he was my coworker's son, I would see him in Newark, New Jersey. That's a major highway where you have to come off the highway, stop at a light, and when you get off the highway, this is where you end up from where I live. You have to get off in Newark. My job is in Newark, so getting off the highway in Newark, where I was first to me, because I used to see him with another young man, which this young man wasn't charged mysteriously. But they were out there, these two young men with haircuts. Now, I didn't know that his son graduated from high school some years prior to seeing him panhandle. So his son was actually panhandling. So that actually took me by surprise that he was actually looking for someone to give him some, a couple of dollars. I seen that one day. And usually with the panhandlers, there's a sign that says no panhandling. And they obey it sometimes, but sometimes they don't. They'll see someone, a police car, then they'll run off. I've seen Khalil selling fruit. I can't think of the name. Welch's fruit snacks. And I remember him coming to my window of my car and saying, "I'm raising money for graduation." Now, according to the timeline, he had already graduated from high school, and the other young man was also selling fruit snacks and Snicker bars and, the candies, $2 a piece. I'm trying to raise money. And they made the perception of who they were very believable because they were clean-cut kids with haircuts. Usually if you see a kid out there, you say, "Oh, Andy, it's hot. He's trying to get ready for graduation." When in actuality, he had already graduated. And up until the point when I found out this was my coworker's son, is when I saw his face in the paper for actual murder. And I'm like, "Wait a minute, can't be." And very shocking, it was his son. And his dad didn't even have a clue that he was at the bottom. We call it the bottom because that's the exit of Route 280 from Newark. He had no clue that his son was out there panhandling and selling candy. It was unbelievable to him. He said, "Not my son. No way." And I'm saying, "Yeah, your son was out there panhandling and pretending to graduate when they're already graduated." Very sad thing to say because now I'm looking at Khalil a little bit different because it seems like you're saying you're innocent, but you were actually out here maybe trying to pry on someone in their car. Maybe you were trying to lure someone who had a car to maybe wherever, maybe he would say, "I need a ride." It was just very strange that that was the situation at hand. Very, very crazy situation. So you never know who your kids are hanging out with. And I say this because the young man that he was hanging with never was charged, and they were running like 10 toes in a sock. Okay, they were like butter on toast, melted together. And after he was arrested, still out there selling candy. And that was weird to me at that point because no one getting off at this exit knows this young man because his face wasn't in the paper. So no one knows who he is. Long story short, this young man was not a high schooler either. This young man was 32 years old. So looks can be very deceiving. But the way he positioned himself with the jeans, the sneakers, the candy, the neat haircut, I'm raising money for graduation. Who knows what his accomplice could have actually been into? I find that very weird. So now Khalil's arrested. This young man's still selling candy, portraying to be this teenager. Until one day I say to him, do you know Khalil? And he ran away from my car like I was a villain. Like I'm the bad guy. You know, he didn't want to hear anything I had to say. And he just actually ran to get off of the highway like someone has spotted me and they know. So I'm not sure if he was an accomplice to the crimes, but Khalil Weaver is saying that he's innocent and he didn't commit these acts of, you know, heinous crimes. But, you know, this is really bringing awareness to parents, not only young ladies, but also our young men out here, because you don't only have guys preying or young guys preying on girls or women, you have women preying on men as well, you know? And sometimes the young men will fall victim to believe that or some that older is more on their team and, you know, really wanting to have their best interests when in fact she is not, you know? And that is a way that they lure your children in. So parents, you have to start looking out for a change in behavior, change in attitude, because a lot of these factors play a major role in what's going on in your child's life. And not to take for granted that, you know, sometimes your children need a shoulder to cry on and someone to talk to. You know, sometimes yelling and screaming at them is not going to be the key factor, but just have a conversation. I know a lot of people say, I'm not trying to be a friend to my child. I'm the parent. Sometimes you have to have a friendly conversation and, you know, keep it above ground. But I would like to take a moment of silence for the four that lost their lives. Thank you for that, guys. Really, that meant a lot. And I'm quite sure the families, two of the families are listening in on this call today. And I know this may be a little emotional for them because Joanne Brown's dad, he's actually on this line listening today. And just want him to know we offer our deepest sympathy because this man has suffered a lot, you know, through hearing all the horrible things that was done to his daughter at the hands of Khalil Wheeler Weaver. And it's very hard sometimes for a parent to swallow, you know, anticipating and being naive to other people when you actually grow them up to be strong and fearless and strong-minded. It's very hard sometimes. And Robin Michelle West's family is also listening to this call today. And they had to really sit through a traumatizing trial to hear every single detail, not just about Robin, but about all these young ladies that lost their lives, a senseless act of murder. And had Tiffany Taylor never been a survivor, she would have never been able to tell the story. She would have never been able to point the finger. She would have never been able to say anything. And her parents are also on the line listening to this call today. And this is very hard for them, you know, and I offer them my deepest compassion. And I know my listeners also offer their deepest compassion because it's never a good thing when you have to bury your own child. And when you go through the trauma of hearing what someone else did to them, when, you know, you yourself as the parent would have never done anything to harm your child. You just want to see them grow up. You want to see them be successful and do good things in life. And unfortunately, for these four women, they will never have that opportunity because of trusting someone who had the look. You know, he played the role, of looking like this is who I really am. And I tell you guys, I was even fooled myself, because I remember, had I never been in the position to see him face to face, I would have never ever thought that this kid was a serial killer or could kill anyone. I thought that he was out here raising money for, you know, graduation. And I even bought fruit snacks from him at one particular time, you know? So looks can be very deceiving, and don't ever forget that. You know, sometimes you put your trust into people that are not trustworthy, you know, and unfortunately, sometimes there are innocent people, like Tiana Parks, for instance. You know, she may be innocent, you know, but there's a different story to tell. You know, she, you know, everybody looked like, you know, she was guilty from the beginning. Okay. Everybody said, oh, she's guilty. She killed that 2-year-old boy. You know, I hate to jump back on that topic, guys, but it's just that people usually have a perception, you know, and based off of what she looked like on her mugshot, you know, the perception was, oh, she's a man. She killed him. You know, she has that look of a murderer. And in fact, when you get down to the facts of things, you realize that there was some horseplay, you know? So don't be so quick to pass judgment on others. And we're not going to pass judgment on Khalil Willow Weaver. We will just say that he had an illness that never got attended to, because there's no way in the world you could seriously want to go out and just go on a murder spree without knowing your bad intentions. Okay, if you strangle one girl, things happen sometimes. People like rough intimacy sometimes. There's no secret. People, these young ladies, they actually did not have that in mind. You know, some people are just out to have a good time. And unfortunately, people have issues. And sometimes people have issues that you can't clear up. So dads with daughters, school them. Mothers with sons, school them. Because a dad can have that conversation with his daughter and say, listen, this is what boys are into today. You know, not saying stay away, but keep your guard up. And moms to sons can say, son, this is what the older women are looking for today. Let me know if something off track goes wrong, maybe with you and a teacher, because that's usually where it starts at. Usually starts in school, usually starts with a family member, usually starts with a family friend. So you got to always be on alert and keep your children safe, because you never know what's in the back of someone's mind and what they're thinking due to their childhood and what happened to them. Khalil, I know his dad. I've worked with his dad. I've never seen anything, but who knows? I can't be the one to swear for anybody to say, hey, they had this fairy tale life and this kid just went on the deep end. I don't know if something happened to this kid in his childhood. His dad has never shared that with anybody. You know, this kid just maintains his innocence. And sometimes people can believe they're innocent when they're in fact guilty. You know, it's just whatever they're training their mind to believe. Maybe he didn't even realize that he killed these women. You know, maybe he woke up at trial and said, hey, they have overwhelming evidence. And it looks like I did this. Tension, you know, even in the churches, people get a little too comfortable with the pastors and, you know, church members. You always have to be on alert, because people fail to realize one thing. These people are also very human. And they've made mistakes. They've had weary childhoods, okay? Just because they've cleaned up and put on a suit today doesn't mean that they're a good person. We have a tendency as people to take a look at another person and say, wow, they're well-groomed. Nice haircut, nice shoes. Wow, nice suit. But they don't know the inner peace of someone that they're keeping inside to keep them at bay so they don't reflect on what they resulted from as a child. You never know someone's childhood because I've had a lot of people, men, come on the show and say, listen, I was violated as a kid. You know, and that was one of the hardest things for one of our guests to do because that's something he didn't share with not even his own children, not his wife, you know, never told his mom. Unfortunately, his dad was the person that was assaulting him, you know, sexually. A very, very, very tormenting thing. And some things that happen, and especially for men, they can't get past a certain point. They can't digest that they've been violated. You know, I was in a situation where I was privy to a conversation of a grown man, which I wanted him to come on the show, but I realized that he was a little too emotional. And I don't think he could handle the line of questioning that I was going to give him because I really wanted answers, you know? And basically, he shared that, and we were at a friend's house, and he said, hey, remember, this is what happened to us? And the friend is looking at him like, no, that didn't happen to me. It happened to you, you know? But it's like this child slash now grown man, it has affected his life. It has affected his marriage. It has affected his life going forward, his mental capacity. This guy will never be the same. And unfortunately, for some people, when things like this happen to them, they never mentally can make a comeback from it. You know, it's very tormenting. And then when they become adult to talk to, they have no one that will understand what they've been through as a young boy being violated and having to cooperate with the demands of a grown man. I'll give you an example, guys. I know you had to see that DeBarge movie. I know the guy that actually convinced the DeBarge brothers to come forward with their story. He passed away during COVID. Very sad story because everything that happened, and I was privy to the conversations of this story before the actual movie came out. But the DeBarge brothers, they really suffered a lot of trauma at the hands of their own father. I mean, guys, if you saw the movie, you would see that this was like something for the father and he was happy with it. And the brother that was the brave one that would always go up in the attic and let his dad abuse him, he felt sorry for his younger brothers. And he didn't want that to happen to them, even though the father had already did it to them. And then people wondered, why is the DeBarge family so, you know, successful, but they're all drugged out? It's because of the trauma. And they opened up and they shared this trauma. Guys, let's take a commercial break and I'll be right back.
Are you looking forward to sell your house in Philadelphia at a fair price, but are just not patient enough to go through the long, delirious process of enlisting your house in the market? Well, look no further, because GBuys Philly has got your back. You can sell house in Philadelphia without going through the trouble of navigating complex sales procedures. We specialize in helping property owners just like yourself, in all sorts of burdensome situations. We pay a fair cash price and save you all the stress and inconveniences of damages or repairs. Fast, no home inspections. Cash deal equals no mortgages. Property as is, no repairs. 100% fair offer guarantee. Sell your house fast for cash in Philadelphia. So what are you waiting for? Just contact us now at www.gbuysphilly.com. Experience, honesty, and integrity guaranteed. Remember, GBuys Philly.
Looking for a holistic approach to a healthy new lifestyle? Akir CMOS is the vitamin-rich solution you need with 92% of the nutrients our body needs. What does CMOS do? Promotes natural weight loss, helps build body muscle, builds a healthier immune system, helps allergies. Consuming CMOS when you're sick is a win, but consuming when you're healthy is a win-win. Visit AkirCMOS.com today and begin your journey to a healthier lifestyle.
Hey guys, welcome back. Just got a message from the Brown family. They just wanted to thank everyone that chimed in today. We have over 11 million listeners on right now. They just want to say thank you for being supportive and listening in. And if you care to Google search the story and see the actual footage from trial, it's Khalil, K-H-A-L-I-L, Wheeler, W-H-E-E-L-E-R, dash Weaver, W-E-A-V-E-R, and put in Orange, New Jersey. And you will see the footage from the trial so you guys can see what actually took place. And, you know, I hope this can be something for everyone to keep theirs up. And you see, you will understand clearly, you're looking at a serial killer and you're like, you'll probably be in disbelief, you know, and the overwhelming evidence, you know, points to him all day long. So I'm not sure how an appeal is going to ever help him out of this situation. But guys, I tell you, speaking of trauma, there is a man who's in his 40s now. Unfortunately, he is recently incarcerated, which is, you know, very traumatizing for him because he also went through some trauma. Not sure as a child how much trauma he went through, but he got locked up at a very young age. And at this young age, he was charged as an adult for a crime that he committed. And he was actually raped in prison by 15 men, one by one by one. 15 men took turns on sodomizing this young man, who is now 40 years old today. That he actually sued the prison and actually won a substantial amount of money for the trauma that he went through. But, you know, I can't even imagine being a guy or, you know, and I'm a female, you know, I can't even imagine being a guy and being violated in that manner and being pinned down while 15 men just sexually abuse you. And, you know, he was actually screaming for the guards. And it seems like the guards, they partook in some of the stuff that would happen to him. So they got sued and he got about $600,000 or $700,000, which in my opinion, it should have been $600,000 to $700,000 per individual that sexually assaulted him is what I would have called fair game. So he could have picked up the pieces and went on with his life, but that wasn't the case. And he basically now is arrested for domestic violence. And a lot of this stuff that he's going through now with domestic violence, you know, he knocked the girl's tooth out, you know, he beat her up pretty bad. You know, it's just a very traumatizing situation. And I didn't know exactly what happened to him at first until I actually got a clipping of the actual court trial that he went through. It was very hard for me because I know mentally, after something like that happens to any man, mentally, you'll never be the same. You know, I can imagine the voices that he hears. And he said he does hear voices. You know, I can imagine, you know, the pain, the trauma, you know, and he's been in jail again for domestic violence on a prior occasion. And it's because he's having a hard time coping with, you know, I'm not gay. I love women. But he's trying to convince himself of that because of what he's been through. You know, 15 guys, and we're talking, he's a little guy. he's not even a guy that's like six anything. He's like 5'6", 5'7", maybe 140 pounds soaking wet. So can you imagine him in his younger years, how tiny he was? And you got these big burly guys, you know, on top of him and pinning him down. Just a really sad, traumatic situation to go through. And unfortunately for the young lady that he has had this domestic dispute with, she didn't take time to find out about his past and what actually happened to him. You know, it took for me to ask some questions and start, you know, my ear got like Pinocchio. And I started listening. And to hear the trauma of what he'd been through, it was tormenting. I actually got goosebumps, you know, and actually telling the story, guys, I actually had to pat my forehead because it's overwhelming, you know. And, you know, can you imagine your young son going through something like that? So you got to be compassionate towards someone today. And we always talk about toxic situations, you know, and unfortunately, this is a situation that he's going to have to live with for the rest of his life, you know, and how he goes through life and survives this tragedy is going to be remarkable. Because if you're still hearing voices and you're not taking meds, he's not on any type of medication. He's very antsy. You know, he's a little bit of everything, you know. But I hope that he can get his life back together. 40 years old is old in the game, you know. It's not old in years for him to move on and have a productive life, but it's old when you're still living that trauma that happened to you, and trying to find a way to get over it is not conducive at all with the type of behavior that he currently has with assaulting women. So he's actually taking out his frustration on every woman that he meets, and they really have no idea what's causing it. And it's because they don't know about his past. And a lot of people overlook, you know, a person's past. They'll say, I met you today. Whatever you did in your past, it doesn't even matter. I love you for you. No, you got to pause. You got to think, what did this person go through in their past? Because that's going to affect your relationship with them going forward. And if you can't ask questions from the beginning, no need to ask them in the end when they're like trying to break your jaw, you know? These are some of the things that can happen. Guys, I tell you, I had a young lady that wanted to come on the show today, and she wanted to talk about the lifestyle that she's living. And I kind of put her off until maybe next week because I wanted to address Khalil Wheeler Weaver today, being as though his sentencing is just fresh. I wanted to address that. And having the parents on the line today is very important. It was a very good go. It's a cleanse for them, you know, and this is not something I'm saying. This is something that one of the parents said to, I'll tell you, the Brown family said that to me. This was like a healing for them, you know, to get past it. They're going 5 years long waiting for justice. You know, meanwhile, the pandemic hit. He's sitting in jail. They feel like he's still alive. Their kid is dead. But they feel like justice has been served. And to hear a voice of reason talk about this and say, you know, we survived this. You know, our child is gone, but we survived this. We had to stay alive just to get to the point where we got today to see justice served. That's a lot for a parent to wait 5 years to say, I'm waiting on my day for justice. You know, it's not like they could have taken matters into their own hands. You know, thank goodness to the Orange Police and the Essex County Prosecutor's Office that diligently got enough evidence to bring him to justice for these parents so they could actually sleep at night. You know, there's a guy that just met his name. He's seen Robin West, and he misses her very much. And he's actually on the line listening today. And he said that this is very heartbreaking for him to listen to. He said, but it's helping him heal because he feels like someone speaking about it, because it's been an enclosed moment for so long that he feels like he can breathe again. And I just want to say, Derek, thank you for allowing me to be the one to talk about it and share the story with the rest of the world, from the East Coast to the West Coast, that has no idea who Khalil Wheeler Weaver truly is as a person. And hopefully they will share this story with their children, with their family members, show the video so people can actually log on and see, you know, who this person looks like. He wore glasses during his trial. This is a kid that has never worn glasses, by the way. So sometimes they put the glasses on to have a perception of I'm really educated and I'm not, you know, that stupid to commit a crime. But obviously the evidence spoke for itself. So Derek, our condolences definitely goes out to you. And we would like to wish you much healing through this process, because it's not going to be easy. 5 years has gone by, but this wound has been reopened for the families. This wound has been reopened for Tiffany Taylor, the survivor, who has paused her life and still couldn't move on if she didn't play dead. You know, and being in these type of situations where you become a survivor at the end of the day, some closure. Because reality, guys, you'll never have closure to any form of abuse. You know, I told you about my crazy ex-cop, ex-husband. That trauma that I went through, I'll never forget it. You know, I'll never forget the day I had to run. And when I tell you miles to seek refuge, seek help, to seek shelter, to seek safe, to seek anything that I felt could save my life, you know, it was mind-blowing that you would think a person that who cares for you, mind you, Khalil didn't know these women on a personal level. I was actually this man's wife. So to go through that trauma of being hunted, like I was in a big field and having to run with no shoes on and run for my life and hide in a garbage can and the pouring down storm and hide from this psychopath because I knew he was going to murder me. So I think back to situations like my own, when you're dealing with someone who has had trauma, and my ex-husband had a lot of trauma that I didn't get to witness until I actually saw it firsthand with his parents. And it was a little too late at that point. I'm already 5 years into a marriage that was crazy, you know, down to the point of tying my daughter up in a room. The trauma that my daughter had, situations of her own, to think back, you know, this is what my mom's husband, my stepdad, did to me, you know, and looking at police officers slightly different because they wear the uniform and the badge, but it's not actually meant for everyone to wear it, because a lot of people come with bad intentions. That uniform does not define who that person is in that suit. So it brings back memories for me of what I've been through, because that was very traumatic. And today, hands down, guys, I got the best husband in the world, and I'll scream and shout that every day of the week. You know, loving, caring, compassionate. I got that. I got one. But it was many years ago. That was very traumatic for me. And I'll never forget it. So I can say the DeBarge family, those children, now grown men, they will never, ever be the same. They will forever remember what happened to them. And they're using drugs as a mask to get through their pain, their suffering, you know, something that is very hard for a lot of people to get through. So they mask this with drugs. So don't be so hard to condemn a drug user because you don't know the pain that they're trying to numb. You know, I was in Philadelphia and I was in this area called, I can't remember the name of it. I think it's Kensington. Driving through because I have family members that live not too far in that area. But seeing a lady today, earlier today, with the needle stuck in her arm, you know, she's looking to numb whatever pain she's going through. And it was a very sad moment for me to see that because she had her band out. She was ready to strap her arm up, tie it up. And I had to think for a moment, who knows what trauma she suffered that got her there? You know, it's like a lady that was going to the supermarket one night, South Jersey. Her family reported her missing. They found her like 2 weeks later in Kensington, you know? And when they got her, she was drugged out. Her family claimed to not know anything about why she would do it. It's some type of trauma that she experienced. Her to Kensington for a lot of people. I mean, people are like zombies there. They're leaning over. A guy was leaning over with a needle in his foot. You know, it's just unbelievable. But we don't know what they've been through to get them there. There's a young lady that lost her daughter to Kensington. African-American lady I was speaking to. She was diagnosed with cancer in her throat. They had to take off partial of her tongue. Very sad situation. And the mother is now living this trauma of her daughter. You know, she's gone. She left these five kids behind. And now the mother has to raise them, being in her condition. You know, you don't know what could lead a person down that dark alley. So don't be so fast to judge. Think about what kind of trauma they've been through. I'd like to thank Brown Family Westwood. Thank Tiffany Taylor. I'd like to thank Derek for coming on today and listening in. Our condolences go out to you guys, and we're here. We're here for support. LA Talk Radio is on your side. We'll be back next week with this young lady who wants to tell her story. We're all Pinocchio ears, guys. So I look forward to having you all back on next week. Great turnout today, guys. 14 million people. I love it. I love it. I love it. From the East Coast to the West Coast. Thanks for listening in. Tommy Torres signing off. Same bat time, same bat channel. Have a good night, guys. Bye now.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres. Only.